My dear friends, today is the Feast of All Saints, and the epistle is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed. Of every tribe of Israel, of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels that stood round about the throne, and all the ancients, and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces, and adored God, saying, Amen, benediction, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, and power, and strength to our God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain, and when he was sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you, and speak all that is evil against you untruly, for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, out of all the nations and tribes and peoples and tongues. So words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, as you've heard me say before, judging from any standard, St. Joan of Arc is indeed one of the most extraordinary persons to ever live. And among the many wonderful, miraculous, and outstanding events of her life, there's one that particularly applies to today's feast. You see, it happened at the beginning of her divine call that to lead the armies of France and drive England out, that some of the knights of the French army would not believe that her strength and her fortitude, let alone her courage and her spirit, came from God. And so they would not believe that she was being led by a divine command. Many of them sought for a worldly answer to her amazing ability to lead the life of a general. And the only answer that they could find for her strength was diabolical intercession. They were driven so far by their foolish reasoning that they planned and they waited and they watched for a safe opportunity. And then they would take the life of this girl who they had determined must be a witch. But their plan was foiled, for when this news reached the knights that were loyal to St. Joan, They demanded that the plotters be hung instantly for treason. But St. Joan immediately forbade any such action. Neither these men nor any others, she said, can take my life before my mission is accomplished. She did summon, though, the chief plotters before her, and in a very matter-of-fact way, she reiterated to them what she had already said. She was firm and convincing in her statement that God would accomplish his mission through her, despite any planning or plotting from men. Then addressing the leader of the group, she sorrowfully told him, "It is a pity that you should plot another's death when yours is so close at hand." To put a seal on the authority of her words, the very next river they crossed, the unfortunate man's horse stumbled and fell, trapping the rider underneath the water, and he died. Now, my dear friends, as we come to All Saints' Day each year, we approach the end and the closing, as it were, of another church year. Throughout the church year, we have celebrated the feast of many great saints, even as we've also celebrated the most outstanding events of our Lord's life and Our Lady's life. But today, in this feast, we honor all those servants of God who have attained sanctity, but who do not have their own particular feast day. Today, we celebrate the memory, the triumphs, the holy lives of those men and women who we will never read about in books. Many of them we will never know until the day when, God willing, we will get a chance to meet them in heaven. And so today, then, is a consoling feast for all of us. For those of us that we might call the ordinary members of the church, today is the feast day on which we remember that not only can we become saints, but that each and every one of us must become saints. In other words, we must live our lives in such a way that we will be called to our heavenly home when we get to the end of this short stay here on earth. To be able to do this, to be able to be joined to that innumerable multitude that St. John witnessed in today's epistle. In order to save our souls and go to heaven, our Lord has given us the key in today's gospel. Our Lord gave us the Beatitudes. These are the guide for how we are to live our lives if we are going to hope to attain heaven. And St. Leo the Great tells us that our Lord preached the Beatitudes during the Sermon on the Mount, just as Moses had been given the Ten Commandments on a mountain. And our Lord wanted all men to know that this doctrine was similar to the Ten Commandments in regard to its necessity for our eternal salvation. And thus it was from the Sermon on the Mount that our Lord gave these Beatitudes. And we can see that St. Joan of Arc practiced these in her life. She was poor in spirit, which means she was humble. She was not flustered or enraged when there was a serious attack on her person. In addition to being humble, she was meek with a true meekness. Now today, meekness is very often misunderstood, and it's taken for weakness. But the truly meek person seeks to make others happy. Society today would have us believe that men should do whatever they want and let others do what they please as long as they're happy. But this is license and not true meekness. Meekness seeks to make others happy eternally in heaven. And so then, meekness makes us talk to others and instruct others in a way that will help them lead to heaven. St. Joan showed her meekness when she admonished her men not to attempt to thwart her life or God's plan for the army by seeking to take her life. In this instance, St. Joan was not called upon to mourn, as we hear in the Beatitudes. And this is the only beatitude that she did not externally manifest in this one event. But we can, of course, be sure that when she was called upon to mourn, she did so properly. For mourning, as our Lord referred to, is the weeping over one's sins or weeping over offenses that were committed against God. And of course, in the army life, there must have been many times where St. Joan would have mourned for God's sake in seeing the life of the soldiers that she was trying to reform. So although she did not mourn in this instance, she did hunger and thirst after justice. She sought the will of God, and that was to preserve her own authority as general, even as she saw to the justice that the men be stopped in their plan. To thirst after justice, then, means to give everyone his due, and it begins, of course, with being obedient to the will of God and giving God his due. Also, this saint, of course, was merciful in that she did not even recognize the appeal to put the conspirators to death. By doing this, she was also a true peacemaker, for she restored total peace and order in her camp, even between the faithful and the former conspirators. Finally, remaining clean of heart and without a great show of authority on one hand, nor a false weakness on the other, St. Joan suffered persecution in the false claims that her authority came from diabolical possession. Just as we too may often be ridiculed for simply doing God's will, she too was supposed by her own knights to be a servant of the devil, even though she was on a mission from her dear God. And so, my dear friends, we see in the life of St. Joan of Arc, in this one little instance, how a person who is not even on the calendar, we don't even have a feast day for her each year, how she lived the Beatitudes, and how she earned her eternal crown in heaven. She gained heaven simply by living life according to the 8 Beatitudes that our Lord gave us in today's Gospel. And she became a great saint not because she won extraordinary military battles, not because she could prophesy with exactness. She was a great saint because she followed our Lord's instructions. Let us then today realize how important our own eternal salvation is, and how important it is to practice the Beatitudes as we strive for that end. Few of us here today may be called upon to do great and heroic things for the church, like the other saints that we observe throughout the year. But all of us are called upon to practice the virtues of the Beatitude, like all the saints that we honor today. On this consoling feast day, then, let us ask the Blessed Queen of Heaven for the grace to truly live our lives according to the Beatitudes, so that we may one day join that innumerable host of saints who are now in heaven, being blessed for their lifelong practice of these great virtues. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.